Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We've heard for years that Vermont-grown food products have a certain cachet. And with Thanksgiving just a few days away, we're also reminded of how our turkeys are getting from farm to table in our region. Well, that modern conversation is significantly different than it was nearly 200 years ago, when Vermont farmers took their turkeys to market in Boston by walking them there from Vermont. Peter Gilbert is chair of the Vermont Humanities Council, and he reminds us about the annual turkey drives. Peter, what a pleasure to have you on the show again.
Pleasure to be here.
So set this up for us. First of all, how many turkeys are we talking about would be making this trek from Vermont to Boston?
Well, we're talking about thousands in each trip. It depends on the year. Some were 7,000 up to 10,000. About 1,000 was the smallest number that made such a long trip worthwhile to pay for the expenses.
What were the expenses?
Well, you had to have drovers along with you to urge the turkeys along the way, to throw cracked corn in front of them so they would walk forward. You had to have people riding in the wagons to carry the supplies, the corn and supplies for the people who went along the way, women, men. It was a large enterprise.
And this was really well suited to child labor?
It would be part of any farm families always had farm children involved in the work of the farm.
And these were several different farms that would come together to do a communal drive, right? I mean, it's not 7,000 turkeys on one farm like you might see in some states today.
That's right. One of the largest drives in the fall of 1824 involved 40 homesteads. Other times, a person would come by in advance, purchase turkeys from different farmers, and on the appointed day would walk by, pick up the turkeys, then head south.
I rush to say that you were not alive for these turkey drives in the early 1800s. Nonetheless, can you paint a picture for us of what it might have looked like to have thousands of turkeys walking to Boston? Were they actually on roads?
Well, sometimes they were on roads, but remember, in 1824, the roads were not very good. Sometimes they were just paths. Sometimes they made their way across fields. They didn't have wagons along the way, but this was a primitive and challenging trip that far. They went all the way from northern Vermont, from the Canadian border, from Highgate, from Island Pond. So you had large groups of people urging these turkeys along, kids throwing food in front of them to get them to walk forward. They would ebb and flow. Sometimes it'd be just a couple feet wide, but sometimes 50 yards wide in the chaos of travel. The problem with turkeys is they stop walking when they think it's dusk, and there's nothing you can do about it. Wherever they are when the sun sets, that's where they perch for the night, and their collective weight shatters trees. Occasionally, birds end up perching on a farmer's shed or barn, and the building collapses. In fact, in one town, they roosted on top of the school building, and the school collapsed. That was in Burke. They went through covered bridges, and sometimes when they'd go through the covered bridge, they would mistake the shade of the bridge for dusk and simply stop. And so the drovers would have to go in there and pick them up and carry them through the bridge into the sun, where they'd perk up again. There's a record in southern Vermont reporting how they clogged a covered bridge for 2 days, how they stopped in the middle of the road on two dark gray November days in the middle of the road and stopped traffic there. He was a guy from western Massachusetts named Father John O'Sheehan. And in 1840, he records that he bumped into a large flocks of Vermont turkeys. He was headed north in his Surrey towards Brattleboro, and he met a turkey drive headed south. The turkeys began to roost on his Surrey and on the backs of his horses, and so he had to drive for dear life, apparently, to get out of there. But he still ended up with a good coating of turkey guano all over himself and his Surrey and his horses.
It sounds like a prelude to a Hitchcock movie.
It is indeed. I think of it more as irony or comic. You know, it stands in delightful contrast to the celebrated heroic cattle drives from the American West. And here in the East, we have turkey drives.
It's just
a wonderful contrast.
This must have been somewhat hard on the turkeys, though. I mean, we are talking about anywhere from 150 to 350 miles of walking in, what, I think 10 days or a couple of weeks?
Well, they could only go 10 to 12 miles a day. And so it was a big process. They lost a lot of turkeys on the way. Maybe 10% of them were drowned in river crossings, taken by foxes, died of natural causes there. And one of the natural causes would be farmers' families. As they walked by the farm, they just might, a couple of them might lose their way and into the pot in that farm family's kitchen. And remember, it's November. It's a sketchy time in Vermont. Sometimes they dipped the turkey's feet in warm tar. It didn't hurt, apparently, but it protected the turkey's feet from the frozen ground, from the rough terrain. Maybe it gave them even better traction on icy days. I don't know.
This, to me, I mean, if it happened today, I think we'd all be out to see the big turkey drive because it would be such an unusual sight and somewhat amusing and maybe alarming. Maybe we'd just want to make sure we kept them off our barns and garages. But was this something that people looked forward to seeing in the 1800s, or was this such a part of normal life that it didn't really raise any eyebrows?
Well, because it was just an annual autumnal event, I think it was something of a special occasion. You have traffic through small towns very rarely, and this must have been kind of an exciting enterprise to be part of, an exciting parade, as it were, going through your little town. But it was apparently fairly common in around Vermont. They went from many different communities, and it was part of normal life. They were only annual because in those days, turkeys were not eaten throughout the year. They were mainly eaten for Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. And that's why the principal reason why they went down towards Boston in the fall.
Why did the turkey drives end?
Mostly because of the coming of railroads to Vermont in the 1850s. First, just plain old railroad cars, but then refrigerated box cars. Also, adding to their demise was the rise of steamboat traffic on Lake Champlain. But nevertheless, they continued through the 19th century and some into the early part of the 20th century.
Peter Gilbert is chair of the Vermont Humanities Council, and he's been telling us about the story of Vermont's annual turkey drives all the way to Boston in the early 1800s. Peter, thank you so much for sharing this story with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.